all listening to the Blues Harvest Show. It's what year is it? It's been a while since we last recorded a podcast. It's February 2018, 22nd of February. We're recording this on.
It's a Thursday.
And and I'm Andy. I'm here with
Vic
and
Jess
and
Nick.
And we're mostly members of the band Blues Harvest. And what's up, guys?
We've seen each other quite recently. What are we going to talk about? Well, we haven't podded for a long time.
No, the last podcast was me, Nick and Vic talking about Game of Thrones back in August. So it's been like a good 6 months or so.
We're not allowed
no one even cares about Game of Thrones anymore. No. That's how long ago it was.
Was it the finale? Is that what we were finale, talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So what's happened since then? Anything?
Star War!
There's been a Star War.
There's been gigs.
There's been gigs. There's been a slight change-up of the band's lineup.
Let's talk about that. Christmas.
There was a Christmas show.
Oh, yeah. Christmas gig was good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the lineup change first.
Yes.
So
Sham is having a bit of time out.
He's having a hiatus hernia.
He's having a hiatus of the hernioid variety. And we have drafted in a good friend of the band for many, many years. Adam Jonesy.
Adam used to be in a band with you, Nick.
Yeah.
We were. Well, actually, I think was Thunderballs before or after?
Genuinely forgot you were called Thunderballs.
Yep.
Yeah, I was in a band.
In case
called,
you're wondering,
I was in a band called Thunderballs with Adam Jones, our new guitarist. But was that before the wedding, or was it?
Oh, good question.
Was it sort of
your
same
wedding
time? Yeah, because remember, for the wedding we had a big wedding band. And
yeah,
it was
that's
you,
right.
And
yeah.
There was
it was after the wedding.
Was it after?
Because I remember where we were living, and it was after the wedding.
Right. Okay. So basically, we had this big wedding band for our wedding, which included all of us, which Adam was in.
Oh, apart from Jess.
Apart from Jess,
me.
You weren't on board at that point.
Exams.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
You were doing a sham.
You were doing your GCSEs.
I was. Yeah, my big GCSEs. Yeah.
Your general
doctor GCSEs.
Yeah, there you go.
I was telling, just on a bit of a side note, there was someone in the pub on Saturday. I was explaining to them because they'd seen the poster that we've done.
Mm.
I said, "So has Sham left the band?" I said, "No, he's on sabbatical leave." Because he's doing some doctor exams.
Yeah.
And they were like, you could just say exams. But because I made the emphasis of, like, doctor exams.
The thing is, if you say exams, people say,
what?
But you're like 30 years old, what are you doing exams for?
Also, it makes it seem a bit more impressive.
Anyway, so
I was in a band called Thunderballs with Adam, and Adam is he's well known in the area as a bit of a beast on the guitar. Mm. I mean, we're all good.
We're all
musicians.
Beasts.
We're all beasts in one way or another. I think you'd all agree. But no, Adam is a real technician. He's a tremendous. He is a bit of a wizard. He's also an excellent teacher. So, what was funny was, Sham said, "Hey, I need some time off to do these exams type thing," and Adam had expressed that he would be happy to fill in, you know.
Yeah,
he's a busy man as well, he's got his family and all that, so this is great, you know, we could probably find a nice balance here between everyone, and also because Sham's busy with work as well, so I put it to him and we all talked about it, and everyone said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. So do you want to come on Thursday?" "Yeah, okay, come on Thursday and we'll have a little jam, see how we get on." Adam turns up. So Adam, have you managed to have a look at any of the songs?
Well,
put it this way, he had notes.
Yeah, he basically said, "Which one do you want to start with?" I've learned them all.
He had learned our entire set.
Yeah, so we basically played for 2 hours in our first
practice.
Yeah.
They went
through everything.
Yeah.
That was weird.
And he'd forgotten his papers, even though he'd written everything
down.
He'd
forgotten his notes and just sort of winged it. But yeah, he slotted in beautifully. And
yeah.
You can tell he's a pro.
He's a pro.
Just, we're just not paying him appropriately.
So when's the first gig with Adam?
The first gig with Adam is the Sci-Fi Weekender in Wales, I think.
What are the dates on that?
That's
in March.
That's the end of March, Saturday the 24th. Are you playing the Saturday?
We're playing the Saturday night, yeah. So it's Saturday the 24th of March. The event's all weekend.
Yeah.
And it's in Pwllheli in Wales. I've no idea how to say it. It's got
Pwllheli.
Pwllheli.
Blish,
but he's got the two L's, with it, which is a ch sound, isn't it?
Is it Pontins? Please.
Yes.
Pontins.
Blish.
So anyway.
Is it still a Pontins?
It's, no, it's a Haven holiday park, I think.
Right.
So it's basically like a music festival, but for sci-fi geeks. So everyone goes for the whole weekend, stays over, watches some great bands. Darth Elvis are playing on the Friday night.
Nice.
We're playing on the Saturday night. They've also got live music from the BBC Philharmonic, not Philharmonic, Radiophonic Workshop.
Really?
Apparently, yeah.
That's amazing. That is really...
I'm not sure exactly what that entails, or whether it's the old, you know, the Doctor Who guys themselves.
Well, I mean, let's, for listeners, for people who don't know, the BBC Radiophonic Workshop are the people who invented a lot of the sort of synthesized sounds that we all take for granted, and like a lot of the effects that, well, certainly the music for Doctor Who and all the sort of sounds of the original Doctor Who, and a lot of the noises that you would hear throughout the 70s in TV shows, that's the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. And also...
A lot of theremins.
Nice. There was a band called White Noise.
Which is inappropriate.
Yeah, who made an album, I think it's just called White Noise, which, if you happen to be able to track it down in your local indie record store, I suggest you do so as quickly as you possibly can, because it is absolutely mesmerising and really, really ahead of its time.
Is it all like instrumentally kind of...
No, they're singing on it.
Right.
The closest thing I can sort of liken it to is, imagine Stereolab on all of the drugs. So if Stereolab took absolutely everything, all at the same time, it would sound like White Noise, which is basically the BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
Brilliant!
Those crazy guys!
It does say, witness original workshop members joining together for an incredible live performance of their truly groundbreaking work.
That! I am very excited about that.
Yeah.
What night is that on?
That's also the Saturday night. Uh-oh. On a slightly different stage.
Uh-oh.
So hopefully it won't clash.
No!
And what drugs will they be taking that night?
Will they all be taking the stereo?
All the drugs. Yeah,
all of them.
There's also stars from Star Wars, Game of Thrones, etc. there for the weekend. So it's going to be a good...
Pop-up puppet cinema?
Pop-up puppet cinema, yeah. I'll be there with my pop-up puppets performing... We'll be doing our Back to the Future and Jaws shows at this one.
Nice.
So yeah, Sci-Fi Weekend, SFW9, I think, on Facebook, if you search for that.
Caravan's still available.
Caravan's, I don't know.
No, might be still
available. So
it's basically like a Butlins.
It's like a Butlins for sci-fi.
Or like for our American friends, like one of those, like that thing that...
It's like summer camp.
Like summer camp, like the baby goes to on Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
It's like that, but with us playing the music rather than Patrick Swayze.
Oh, I should also mention that our DJ pal Level Up Leroy is going to be there for the weekend
cool.
as well.
Yes.
So. Very cool.
Shout out to Leroy.
Hey, Leroy.
Next week.
Hey, Leroy.
And then following that, we've also got Sci-Fi Scarborough.
Yes.
In April 21st, I'm going to say.
I thought you were going to say in Scarborough.
In April.
Definitely there.
Yeah.
And we played the after show again. We played there last year.
Quite looking forward to that.
Really good, wasn't it, last night? So.
Saturday 21st of April. Cool.
Yeah, we'll go get some fish and chips.
That was a really nice show, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah.
Scarborough is delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I'll be there with my puppets in tow. And this And this is the first time we'll actually be performing our Jaws puppet show. By the seaside.
Oh, that's very cool.
So I'm going to be doing that. It's going to be good.
It'd be good if it was on the seaside. Could you do it outside?
Boat. Well, we might take some of the puppets on to the beach for some photos. Yeah, that's
a good idea.
Like Brody, puppet Brody running up and down. Those are beaches!
Oh, yeah, you should do, like, take some video. Promo
You've
videos.
You've got to do that
yeah.
shot, you know, the backwards.
The dolly zoom shots.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. But yeah, that's a couple of the gigs that we've got coming up. There are others in the pipeline that are truly, truly wonderful and exciting that we just can't talk about yet, unfortunately. Mm. Hopefully in the next...
Hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
By the next podcast, we'll tell you all about them.
Yeah.
In past tense.
Yeah. By the next podcast in another 6 months.
Yeah.
Before we move on, like, speaking of previous gigs, the
Christmas.
Holiday special, over the holidays that we just did. We should make a little mention of that because we did that with
Fighting.
With Fighting,
a
local Preston band from Uprent.
And Pop Up Puppets in a
band. And that was really good. What enormous turnout that was.
I mean, it was the second time we've done this this now annual event at Christmas at the Continental in Preston. And... we kind of treat it as our little end-of-year party. And last year was good, but this most recent one, it basically sold out, which we didn't expect.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah, it was really packed, and everyone was just having a great time. We got to play all our favourite hits.
And it was right before Christmas as well, so everyone was in like pretty high spirits.
Yeah,
anyway.
But I was just pleased that there's loads of people there, and lots of people we knew.
Lots of people we've not seen for ages.
Yes.
It was a really nice gathering, that. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so if you're in the locality of us and you see, one of our gigs, please come because you will be entertained. And it's always a very good, fun time, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we do more sort of, like, it'd be good to do a gig at the Ferret or something and just have
a normal venue gig.
Yeah, normal venue gigs rather than a big sort of convention or.
I love a big show.
Yeah, I do love a big show. But yeah, there's something I like a small show.
I like to get down with the little people.
Gotta keep it real, man.
Also, recently, me and Nick did an acoustic set in Edinburgh.
So staying extremely grounded, you guys.
But
that was good.
Stripping it right back.
Excuse me. We didn't know whether we could do it.
No.
We really didn't know. Because, like, we were condensing a whole band into our little...
I'll be honest, I didn't know you could do it either.
No. Well, judging by the video that we put out on Twitter of us just howling away to the Star Wars theme.
But no, we did it. It turned out really well.
Yeah, we had people dancing.
Yeah, that's why I was dead impressed. Because that's always my worry. If you're going to strip something back, that it's you're going to lose something from it.
We still got the good times going.
Exactly. Which you did.
Yeah, it was a really good show, Edinburgh, wasn't it? And Darth Elvis were on as well.
Yeah, Capital Sci-Fi Con it was called, yeah.
Yeah, Capital Sci-Fi Con.
There was no pop-up puppets. There was in the daytime, but not in the evening, do. But yeah, I was there with Pop-Up Puppet Cinema doing Raiders of the Lost Ark and Back to the Future. And in the evening we did the after show, which is when me and Nick played our acoustic set.
Yeah, and it's a big charity show, isn't it?
Yeah.
The highlight of that show for me though was Darth Elvis doing the green milk thing. Did you see that?
It was so funny.
No, I just heard about it.
So you know the scene from The Last Jedi when Luke has the bottle of green milk and he drinks it, it goes down his chin and he winks at Rey. Darth Elvis was doing that to anyone who was filming him with the camera. So he had this bottle, he'd just drink a bit, wink, and then move on and do the same to the next person.
But it was it was horrible.
And he said it was actual milk with green food colouring and that it tasted rank because it had been on stage in the lights. Also, we should mention our pal, another DJ pal of ours.
Of course.
Yep.
DJ Elliot. He was there, he came all the way from Orlando, Florida. To entertain people. Yeah, you got a round of applause, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm from Orlando. And all the Scots were like,
yay!
Orlando!
But that, apparently, they raised a lot of money for charity, and it was nearly 20 grand for charity.
Really?
Children's homes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Charity, mate.
Children's hospices
across Scotland.
Yeah.
So that's a good one to do.
Yeah.
A good cause.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention band-wise is we've not talked on the podcast before about Tatooine Sunset.
Have we not?
No, it was shortly after our last podcast that we recorded that song.
Well, that is some news.
That is some big news.
That is some news.
I mean, I feel like I've not milked this quite enough yet.
No, let's do it again.
So let's drink some green milk and wink at the podcast listeners and tell them all what happened with Tatooine.
Well, I think it starts with you, Andy, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a bit of... because obviously one of the things that we do in the band is Star Wars parody songs. So we pick, you know, decent tunes that we love and just see if we can get some Star Wars meaning in there. And one song that I have always enjoyed, but I also know Mark Hamill himself is a big fan of the Kinks. So we looked at Waterloo Sunset. So I remember it was a year and a half ago, I think.
We didn't look at it straight away.
Well, I wrote some lyrics and did a recording and sent it to you guys.
And I was like...
It was a slow burner.
We weren't sure about it because it's such a sort of mid-tempo song.
Yeah.
And it's not a dancey song.
Mm.
And so because we are primarily a galactic disco party fun, disco fun band.
Yeah.
Then I think we just put it in the back burner, like you said. And
I there's something about that song because it was kind of on the periphery of the stuff I was listening to back in the 60s when I was listening to that stuff. I was never a massive Kinks fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I was kind of wasn't sure. But then as soon as we did do it and I heard how it sounded, all those worries went
away. Well, it was funny because we were doing some recording and then I think it was when we recorded Death Star and Obi-Wan Kenobi, which you can hear on our SoundCloud page. We recorded the drums for Tatooine Sunset. And I remember I was listening to... there was like a dodgy MIDI version of the actual track and I was trying to play... It was awful. But we just put down a guide drum part and then... Nick, you went away with it, and then the next thing was you were like, oh, finish that song.
Yeah.
Because you spent like a day just sort of adding the guitars and everything. And
Once I got my head around it, then I was like, okay, right, let's crack on. And it all just came together.
Should we have a listen to it?
Let's have a listen to it and then talk about what happened next, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, that's how we recorded it, and then Nick, you sent it back to us, and it resulted in this cover of Waterloo Sunset by the Kinks, now reappropriated by us as Tatooine Sunset.
Dirty old planet, a moisture farmer, fixing drawings through the night. Scots and Tuscan raiders swarming the jungland wastes. But so the way Julie cross over the dune sea, where they feel sound and safe.
Tatooine Sunset. So, I remember uploading it to the. I did a YouTube video for it, a little animated YouTube thing. And we stuck it on online. I tweeted it, like, I think just before going to bed, basically.
Yeah.
One night, and then woke up, and like there was about 100 notifications on my phone, including messages from you guys as well. Like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? And basically, Mark Hamill got wind of it, didn't he? Caught his attention.
That's right, listeners. You heard right. Mark Hamill, the singer of Star Wars.
And Batman.
And Batman.
Because he sent us two tweets within 5 minutes of each other.
So you know he really liked it.
I think he listened to it twice.
I think he's still listening.
Because
to it.
Said, the first tweet said... who retweeted us and put, "Magnificent. The original Kinks classic has always moved me to tears, and I now declare this as my unofficial, official Luke theme song. Thanks."
Yeah.
And that was like, that feels pretty special.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's about as big as it gets.
That's about as big as it gets, yeah.
Vic, you know, you sort of added extra depth to it, didn't you?
After we watched... Well, do you want to read the other tweet?
Oh, yeah.
So the other tweet is a reply to us, which was 5 minutes after that last one. Yeah. So we definitely listened to it more than once.
Yeah.
And he put, "Brilliant reimagining of one of my all-time faves, guys. The lyrics, performance, and John Williams theme fade out. Perfection. Hashtag got goosebumps."
That's cool.
We gave Lou
goosebumps. I know, it's crazy.
We made him cry. I gave him goosebumps. after we watched The Last Jedi, and there's the bit with Luke.
Spoiler warning.
Oh yeah, spoilers.
We're going to spoil it. It's months after it's been out anyway.
Yeah.
There's a bit with Luke anyway. but he's looking at
his demise
twin sons,
at the end, yeah.
And it's like, you can imagine him, because he would have filmed it then.
He knew that, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And was listening to this, knowing that we didn't know
We
didn't know what happened to him.
So, the fact that the twin sons make a re-emergence.
Yeah. And that it was a song about Luke, whenever he's looks at these twin sons, he's on Tatooine. And it was like a little homecoming for the character.
Yeah.
As he sat there on that rock. On thingy.
Maybe
what's
we
it
should
called?
Tweet him back and ask him.
Yeah.
Did yes!
You, when you cried, yeah. Was it because... I thought that was really cool. Because he must have thought about that.
Yeah.
And if we'd have done that, like, 10 months earlier, do you reckon we would have been able to get on that soundtrack for The Last Jedi?
Yes.
Just to clarify, he didn't say that... We made him cry. He said the original always moved me to tears.
Yeah.
No, Andy, you're misunderstanding him. What he meant was he always thought the Kinks were quite good.
But we moved him to tears.
Yeah, how did you not get that from him?
Well,
maybe we moved him to horrible, horrible tears because of what we've done to his...
It's okay to... We can speculate. It's
true, though.
It's only going to happen once. Like, I mean, he must enjoy it.
He must have heard that like, because it was only like 3 months before Last Jedi, so he would have known.
Finished filming.
Yeah, he would have known
what happens to the character.
That he looks at the twin sons and dies.
Yeah.
And here's this song that we've just done.
Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah. So I hope he did cry.
Hope you did cry, Mr. Hamill.
Do you reckon he sat there speculating on whether we cried when we found out?
I did cry when I read that tweet. I mean, he's great. Like, if you follow him on Twitter,
he's always tweeting people. We're nothing special.
but he seems like such a nice guy as well. And
he really does.
Real honour that he
Mark Hamill news today or yesterday.
Yes. Oh, Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah. Getting a star.
Finally.
Isn't he, Andy was in because of the, is he presenting the
Oscars? He's presenting an award at the Oscars.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, he tweeted the list of other presenters and he's one of them. Yeah.
Oh, he could present the whole thing.
Yeah,
he could.
He could easily carry the whole thing if he wanted.
Oh, so like for Carrie, it'll be something for Carrie then, surely.
Oh, I wonder. Well, is this the first Oscars since Carrie Fisher's death?
No,
there has been one. And they did do a thing for
they
did her. It,
yeah, they wouldn't do...
We're not crying two years in a row, are we?
But they didn't do a lifetime achievement for her.
They've got Mark Hamill, they've also got Oscar Isaac, and I think they're the two Star Wars people that are presenting awards. But I think they're just in the list of presenters that are presenting.
John Williams will get them.
Has he already got his?
He's had an Oscar.
He's got multiple Oscars.
No, I mean,
but didn't he just get a Golden Globe? Well,
I mean, his lifetime achievement.
He conducts
kind of
with
Oscar.
An Oscar instead of a baton now. Yeah. He just waves it around.
I really hope Mark gets something, you know, because really,
yeah,
you know, he's the heart and soul. I mean, so is Carrie, obviously, but he's the centre point, isn't he, of the original Star Wars saga?
Yeah.
I think he gets props.
He does now,
yeah.
But like he never has from the Oscars community.
But then Star Wars doesn't, and action films don't really.
No, you're right.
There should be another category for best fun.
Yeah.
Best fun.
Oscars
film.
Best fun. Yeah.
So Last Jedi, we've all seen it a couple of times.
Yeah.
A few times.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Where do we all sit on the? Because there's this weird love hate relationship.
Yeah.
From a lot of fans.
First of all, we're just love or hate?
Love.
Love.
Okay, I love.
I like how you asked us first.
Yeah, okay then.
No, I loved it, absolutely loved it. Unequivocally.
Yeah.
But
I loved it more than Force Awakens the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Because I think when I first saw Force Awakens, it was like, okay, let's have a think about this. You know, it's new Star Wars. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then I had to watch it again to, like, actually like it. Whereas this one, I was just, like, ready to go.
Yeah, like, when you first see Force Awakens, you spend the whole film thinking about the directors, the actors, the studio.
Yeah.
The money that they spent on this property, is it going to be good?
Yeah. What's George thinking?
Yeah. but with this one, I know what you mean, you get a bit more swept away with the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I was totally the opposite.
Really?
Really?
Totally, totally the opposite. I went to see The Force Awakens and I came out of that feeling energised.
I did.
You know, flailing my enemies with my pretend lightsaber and you know, all that fist bumping kind of stuff. And when I watched The Last Jedi, I knew I enjoyed the movie, but I was just not sure about what I'd just seen either.
Yeah.
And that took me at least a weekend to kind of come to terms with, and a second watch to kind of...
I think probably a lot of people are like you on it.
I knew that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I remember when we came out of it, I felt like I'd been holding my breath the whole time.
Last Jedi.
Yeah, Last Jedi. It felt like one crazy roller coaster.
Yeah.
And because there was a lot to process on the fly.
Yeah, it was just curveball after curveball.
Yeah.
For someone like me who had been paying attention to all the theories and all that kind of nonsense.
Yes.
You know, because that's what The Force Awakens did to me. It got me right back into the mythology and the story and trying to figure stuff out again. But yeah, so anyway, I did love it.
So,
I've got a theory to posit.
Go on.
So, a lot of the themes of The Last Jedi, you got this, I can't remember the line that Yoda says about failure, but it's like failure is the biggest teacher of all, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you've got all these characters that are essentially failing in their mission, especially like the thing with Finn and Rose,
yeah,
and their whole storyline being a failed mission, Poe Dameron failing.
Yeah.
Are any failings that you find within the film itself part of the artistic experience, and so therefore make the film better?
I thought you were going to say, what have you failed at?
that would be easy.
Well, having listened to Ryan's...
It's really just a silly point I'm making, but I was just thinking about it today, like, it'd be funny if the film itself was an absolute flop and 100% failed, because it's all about failure. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think what you're saying is kind of interesting, because, like, all of those themes were most definitely deliberate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Rian Johnson has clearly explained why that is the case.
Yeah.
And that's a really unusual and extremely brave approach to something that is essentially like fairy tale level mythology. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not like a complex, you know, psychological movie that can deal with real negative things, you know what I mean? And, like, leave you with, like, super existential questions that might make you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, but, like the got elements of that with the Batman, the Nolan Batman films.
Right, yeah.
It's like asking bigger questions about heroes and...
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, I suppose Nolan did do that with the Batman movies. But, like, you know, I'm talking about, like, I don't know, things like Memento and stuff like that, where, you know, it's, you know, just deeper.
Yeah.
You know, it's so-called deeper movies. Mm. And with Star Wars, you know, like, even though we all want to see it as this wonderful, you know, gem of modern mythology, which it is... It's still a kid's movie. It's still just a children's fairy tale. And the fact that he managed to deal with all that negativity and weave it into something that sort of felt cathartic at the end, deliberately, he did that deliberately, I think, is super clever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the bit where people are going, oh, Luke should have been... great, you know what I mean? And you know, everyone should have been really super heroic and winning at the end. And they did, but just not in the way that everyone thought, you know, and that was clever, I thought.
But the thing is, they tee that up earlier in the film that it's not going to end
how
you want it to end.
Yeah.
You know, it's... And also, I mean, I think, was it Leia had been saying earlier on that about talking about hope and all that kind of stuff? And ultimately, I think that's what it all boils down to. It's the fact that it's not, the rebellion's not over, and they do survive.
Yeah.
And there's going to be another movie.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be another... How many films have they announced so far that are in development? Seven. Yeah, because there's the Rian Johnson trilogy.
Yes.
There's a series of films from the creator from the showrunners of Game of Thrones. So they've not. because I said series, not
series. What does Siri have to say about it?
Obi-Wan?
I don't think there's an Obi-Wan movie announced yet in production.
But he's got a beard.
Must be, yeah.
Are they going to do that, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, I've gone off you, McGregor.
Feels
anyway.
Like that. Yeah, Biggs lost a bit.
Haven't you gone off Obi-Wan?
Someone at Disney's going to be listening to this podcast and go, pull it!
Oh, yeah!
Biggs gone off.
Because he went off with another woman, left his wife.
Yeah, but sometimes those things happen.
I know, but it was just a shock.
have you seen Fargo, the latest series that he's in? He's brilliant in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Playing the two brothers.
Yeah.
I went on him.
Yeah, but that's
so did the girl.
That's what happened. Okay, so in episode 9, obviously.
Yeah.
And Solo. What's the next? What's your guys' thoughts on the Solo trailer?
It looks awesome.
I'm super excited about that. It's the trailer. Just the trailer was fantastic.
Yeah.
I like the music.
Yeah. Really gets you pumped that trailer, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks great. And the worries always is Han gonna be Han? And it does look like they're certainly doing something with him that'll be fun.
Yeah, he looks like a cool dude. That's
it's not gonna distract.
Yeah, from the story.
I don't feel at all like it's gonna trip me up for some reason.
Yeah,
after seeing that,
I think it's because Ron Howard's safe as houses.
Mm.
Good old Ron.
Good old Ron. I think that's what.
Well, I mean, they'd chosen him before, though.
Have they?
Yeah, we saw him at Celebration. I meant the actor.
Oh yeah. Sorry, no, I was talking about Ron. I was like, what?
Yeah.
No. Sorry, I meant Eric Hembeldick. What's he called?
Simon
Alden Ehrenreich. Hey, do you think it's safe to tell our Solo story about the gig that never happened?
I don't know.
Vic's shaking her head. Oh, we'll leave it.
We'll come back to it, but it's a good one.
We'll think about it.
We've got a good story about a gig that we didn't do.
Yeah. But if you catch us in person and ask us about it.
Get me drunk enough, I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, I think it looks like the individual bits, it's always the same. It's like you just want to know more about, like, what is that? And you know, like...
Oh, like shots you see in the trailer. Yeah,
and there's a bit that they go in with, like, there's the woman with the...
the gold sort
gold
of,
thing.
Yeah.
And she's holding this guy that's got a singing.
Yeah.
Or something.
In a little fish tank.
Yeah. And it's like they must go into some kind of cantina-esque place.
Yeah.
That just looks really freaky and cool.
Yeah.
Something's just occurred to me. You know what I think would be really cool? Is if in one of the new films, or albeit maybe a film set in the past, if either Figuring Dan or another band play the cantina music.
Someone
else playing that particular hit from the Star Wars universe.
Doing their own thing?
Yeah, but like, doom, 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 you know, like...
So the song itself has a continuity within the...
Within the Star Wars
that
universe.
That would be cool.
That's going
like
to
that.
Happen.
I'd like
That's
that,
going
yeah.
to happen, I think. Meanwhile...
Yeah, like a version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the Solo film... What are your?
Oh my
what
God,
what
a
do you want to see?
Nerd.
The Kessel Run.
The Kessel Run's obviously
got
gonna
to
be.
Be.
I want to see him win the Falcon.
Yeah, I want to see Lando. Lots of Lando.
Yeah. Also, we haven't mentioned Lando.
Donald
that
Trump.
Bit. He doesn't say anything.
No, but
he doesn't say a word
in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just go, yep.
He's got.
Yeah.
He's Lando.
Yeah.
I like his hair.
Yeah.
His hair's a nice.
Totally, and that giant fur coat, and he's just like stood there looking.
Yeah.
It's Lando.
I can't
What do you think about the Falcon then?
Very excited about that.
I want to know why it changes its shape. I've got a few ideas.
Well, I heard one of the, I think it was Lawrence Kasdan's son, who's been one of the script writers. He was talking about the Falcon. Mm. Representing the person that currently owns it. So obviously Lando owns it. So it's sleek, it's shiny.
Yeah.
It's got all its parts.
Got all its
intact.
Parts intact.
I noticed that there's no round dish on it.
No.
No.
You're gonna say dick?
There's no round dick on it. At least not that I could see.
It's a falcon without a dick.
Put a dick on it. So the dish is just like
It's like
flat.
Yeah. So maybe it sort of comes out. Oh.
Well, the spoilers that are coming from the toys that sort of give away what happens. I think we'll see in the actual film what happens to it, basically.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't follow toys, so I don't know what you mean. But
and they just became the biggest nerd.
No, the pictures from the toys.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah.
Well, look online.
No, I haven't seen them either. But
Andy keeps sharing them.
But there's also the Falcon being all shiny and new. I think I read somewhere, or I might have just made this up, so this might be my idea. It's probably not. But,
can't wait!
The idea that the Falcon wouldn't have been very good for the kind of missions that Han was using it for.
Yeah.
If it was shiny and spanking new, whereas if it looks like a decrepit...
Pirate ship.
Yeah, a piece of junk, then... Yeah.
Oh, so you think it deliberately looks...
Because the fork at the front, like, obviously that's covered up. But, like, I've heard that bit described as, like, a sort of a docking thing or a thing for picking things up.
Okay. You
know? So I don't know if that's now, like, a reinvention of its use, or is that what it was always supposed to do, or...
You're talking about there was some artwork of the Falcon pushing a massive object through space using those forks, and...
Yeah.
I think that's possibly been retconned now, but... Okay. What I was talking about before about the toys...
Yeah.
...is that there's a new Millennium Falcon ship that's been released as a toy with the new design.
Okay.
And that front bit's removable.
Ah.
Like its own shuttle.
Oh. Because
you can put Han inside it and have that.
No way.
Yeah. Nice. Right. That's cool.
And also, some of the other panels pop off.
Gotcha.
And it's actually called the Kessel Run Millennium Falcon.
Oh, cool.
So it's like, during the Kessel Run, it's just going to disintegrate.
They're going to like smash it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is Millennium Falcon just a one-off, or might we see another
iteration?
Another Corellian.
Yeah.
A YT, what's it, YT-50?
Oh, like when they come off the production line, they all look like this.
Yeah, might we see loads of Falcons?
All racing each other, all with their own designs.
Well,
I don't think they'd do that, because the Falcon's its own...
It's its own character.
Thing, isn't it? Yeah.
If they were going to do it, the one that Lando has to have been heavily modified. Because it is
it's
got to
be
its
own
thing. Yeah. Everyone knows about it. Sorry.
I've made a few special modifications
myself. Yeah.
Very cool. Oh, I'd never heard that.
Yeah, that. So I mean, that's just something that came about.
I didn't figure that it was a shuttle, but I figured that it would come off, obviously, for some reason.
So me and Vic did the VR.
Yeah.
Star Wars experience.
Yeah.
Secrets of the Empire, it's called.
Yes.
Vic, do you want to tell
us? The Void.
Yes, The Void in London.
So.
Give us your rundown.
You mean The Void in London?
Yeah. It's like, so you book in for a specific slot during the day, and then you arrive.
I think you'd start with this important, exciting detail.
Yeah. How would the queue?
They give you your own slot.
No, let me finish. And then you go and queue up and wait another half an hour for it to begin. No, but the excitement builds.
Yeah.
It's like Laser Quest. But if you close your eyes and imagine somewhere exciting.
Yeah, so basically it's a virtual reality experience.
you know more about virtual reality.
Okay, so it's a virtual reality experience. You're wearing a headset, a VR headset, that's attached to a computer that's on your back. So it's all in one rig, which means you can move around.
Like a PC on your back.
Yeah. So as opposed to like the VR that, like, I've got the PlayStation VR that you guys have all had a go at.
And you have to carry your PlayStation around with you.
It'd be like, So obviously you're kind of limited to one spot, but in this one, you can actually move around. So so it's just me and Vic doing, I think they do it in teams of up to four. So just me and Vic doing this particular experience. And we both put the helmet on. And you can see each other, but we're both stormtroopers.
Nice.
So we got our packs on, and then we go into this room, and there's a door in front of you, like a lift door.
Yeah.
And then the guy says, pull your visors down. And then I'm looking at Andy, pull my visors down, and I'm just looking at a stormtrooper.
Cool.
And the
just waving at each
other. Computer's got, the pack that you're wearing's got cameras in front of you. So that's how it's tracking sort of where you are and stuff, but also tracking your hands, so you can see you can lift your hands up in front of you and it's stormtrooper hands.
So could you wiggle your fingers?
Yes, like individual fingers it was tracking.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was very good.
Yeah.
And then he said, right, on you go, and the door's opened.
The door, you look back at the door and it turned, it's now a Star Wars-esque door.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, it looks like... Yeah. And then you look in and there's K2SO going, come on.
So we're actually going through this maze in real space, like 3D.
Don't want to give more spoilers to the story of it.
The one thing I will say is that when... So you go into the first bit, you're on a spaceship with K2SO and you're flying down to Mustafar. And then when we landed on Mustafar and the doors open and you could feel the heat
as
you walk
amazing.
Out to the gangplank.
That's crazy.
And then, eventually we both pick up guns and start blasting stormtroopers with them. And it was so good. The one thing that let it down for me was the staff.
Right.
They were fucking bullshit, man.
Whoa! Oh, man.
Really did my head.
Let it all out.
They were just like, there was no excitement. You know, like when you, at Star Wars Celebration, for example, or it's at Disney, and you've got the people that are, you know, excited for you to experience this exciting, wonderful thing that they're going to show you.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's like they weren't Star Wars fans. And
it wasn't even that. It was just like the complete disinterest. So when we got there, and I said to this guy, so can you tell us, you know, we booked in for 5:30. And he was like, well, you go away and come back at 5:30. It's fine. You'll get in. So we went away, came back at 5:30. And then we had to queue for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it was like the people in front of us had no specific times. And it was just all a bit of a mishmash.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we got to the front of the queue. And then this girl, Vic, how did the girl introduce the preamble video that we watched with
Cassian? So you go into this room and you get in a briefing from Cassian.
It's the excitement, but you know, just the excitement builds. And then this is
and
what
so
happened.
this woman just like took us into this room and just went, you rebels, you're going to listen to this.
Like, you'd expect a bit of theatrical, rebels, come on, we've got Captain Cassian Andor's going to brief you on your mission and get you excited, you know, and honestly, it put me in a really bad mood and slightly spoiled the experience for me.
The thing is,
also, we had just been to a funeral, so we were a bit down
maybe
anyway.
We needed a bit of pepping up. Forgot to mention that bit, yeah.
I think, though, if you'd have known that that's what it was going to be like when you got there, I don't know about you, but I would really enjoy that, knowing that it's going to be a bit shoddy and no one's going to be into it, apart from me.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Also, no one was really telling us what was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it was like, we put the sets on, and then they just kind of ignored us for a bit.
Yeah.
And made us wait. And then, so I was like, so I got my phone out and I was taking pictures of Vic with a VR stuff on. Then this guy appeared, the one guy that did actually speak to us, and he was like, no photos in it. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. I put my phone away. He said, can you delete that photo you just took?
Seriously?
And I was like, that photo. And I said, okay. So I brought up the photo. I said, by the way, there's no one's told us not to take photos.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, there's a sign. So he made me delete the photo and put my phone away.
Yeah. You know you can still get that photo back.
Yeah, it's in my deleted items. Yeah. Every store does, straight away. But yeah, it was just so... It was just like, oh, for God's sake, man.
Yeah.
See, that stuff cracks me up.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
That's a job's worth. Yeah.
Yeah. But how... Is it open... Is it there for ages? Or is it just a short-term
They've thing? Extended the period. It's meant to finish soon, but they've extended it to...
You can call it,
could go.
Worth
well,
going,
I was, I was thinking more from the point of view that if it was something that was there for ages, then they're just going to employ anyone to come and and run
it. Just be some local college kids.
Yeah,
whereas that's what it is.
With Celebration, obviously they're turning up.
It's a bit more exciting in itself anyway, I guess.
But the experience itself made up for it.
Yeah, and you know, maybe we were just there on a bad day.
Yeah. Because of the funeral.
Yeah.
Because of the funeral. But it was like every single member of staff there was just disappointing to me.
Yeah. I think that would have been a bit of a downer if you were expecting like
and then there was one bit of the actual experience that was a bit frustrating because there was a puzzle element that we couldn't quite manage.
And we were just like,
K2SO was just shouting at us.
Yeah. And what was he saying?
He was shouting,
push the button.
Yeah. Do I have to show you again?
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyway, we're gonna go to some more VR experiences
on Sunday.
In the Trafford Centre in Manchester.
Jess knows about this.
Ooh.
they've got the IMAX VR. So upstairs at the IMAX part of the Trafford Centre.
The one that we missed out on.
They've got the two Star Wars experiences that we actually missed at Star Wars Celebration. So there's the Trials on Tatooine, which is where you get to hold a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And there's one called Droid Repair Bay, where you're repairing some droids.
Wonderful.
And it's like a five at a time.
Cool.
One, so. So we're going to go and check those out on Sunday, and we'll no doubt report back.
In about six months.
Oh, cool. So we're all going to Trafford Centre.
Oh, me and Andy,
Well, I might go shopping while you do that.
Do you want to talk about the Marvel films you've been watching, Jess? Is this your first time through?
I've got halfway. Well, I think I watched all the way up until... I saw Iron Man 3, Guardians of the Galaxy, all that stuff. Ant-Man I saw, but I skipped something in the middle. I can't remember what.
Basically, Age of Ultron?
The Avengers.
I'd seen the first Avengers. Age of Ultron I hadn't seen.
What about Winter Soldier?
I did catch that, but not at the cinema. I think I watched that much later. But basically, I've been catching up because I've been desperate to get up to Thor.
So have you started with Iron Man?
No. I just started where I'd finished before.
Ah, right, okay.
So, but basically all week this week, because I need to get to Black Panther for the weekend pretty much.
What have you got left?
Just Thor, I think.
What about
Spidey?
I saw that at the cinema. That I saw out of sync.
What about Civil War? So you're just filling the gaps in at the moment?
Civil War, I just saw.
Okay.
Awesome. Oh, you've only just seen that for the first time?
Yes, this week. So Civil War, Guardians 2. I saw this week for the first
time.
Doctor Strange as well.
Oh, you're caught up then.
Flipping amazing as well. Mm-hmm. I was quite surprised by Doctor Strange. I don't know why, because everyone said it was awesome.
But it was. You're surprised that it was awesome.
I was just surprised.
Was it the Doctor angle?
This guy should be struck off.
It was the bucket. What's it called? Bucket Crunderdunder.
Yeah.
Bucket. Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Bucket. Crunderdunder.
I like the librarian monk guy, the big guy. He's funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
And he's from like Manchester.
Yeah.
He's from Oldham.
Excellent.
Oh, he's really funny. Like Beyonce fan. Do you listen to
Beyonce?
You
always listen to Beyonce in the film.
Yeah.
Well, me and Amy have been rewatching all of them from Iron Man.
From the first
Iron Man. So I'm doing the full run. Because I've been... I bought Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in 3D on Blu-ray for my PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
And then found a couple of the other ones in 3D for quite cheap as well. So I've just been getting all the 3D versions that I can.
Excellent.
From... Well, basically the first few aren't in 3D, but from Thor onwards... They're all in 3D. So I've just been watching, and I tell you what, Doctor Strange, all those weird
visuals
in 3D.
It's amazing.
It's stunning, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I bet it's... See that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, so me and Amy have been watching the non-3D versions.
You've been watching it on your...
And then I've gone back and watched it in 3D on my own. But yeah, the thing that sort of impressed me the most is the way that they tee up the later films quite early on.
There's a lot of introducing ideas and just general stuff, like the whole magic thing in Doctor Strange and the space stuff in Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all coming together.
It all kind of happens and then you realise a few...
What it's leading towards, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and that's been really cool.
Because it started, like the earlier ones, they start referencing the films that have just happened.
Yeah, and it's all
And then
on
they
Earth.
Start referencing the films that are going to happen.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for Infinity War?
No.
Oh, it looks
okay.
It looks really good.
Okay.
You two have seen Black Panther.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what up?
Wakanda forever.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Wagwan in Wakanda.
Well, we can't really spoil too much because it's still fresh and you guys haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But
you got your fill of vibranium.
Lots of vibranium. The thing that struck me, and anyone that's clued into the history of Black Panther, i.e. that it was essentially created by Jack Kirby like in 1964, you know what I mean? Before the Black Panther movement were even called the Black Panther movement.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
2 months before the Black Panther.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Whoa. But like, apart from that aside, you know, the sheer... like, Kirby's just incredible, like... humanity. He's such a human. For someone who grew up in a potentially, you know, in a very extremely sort of racist, racism charged situation. He was in the Second World War. He was in the whole post-war period. He grew up in New York with all those different, you know, sort of racial things going on. And he was such a humanist. You know what I mean? To the extent that I really think it's because of his ideas that, you know, that the college goers of the 60s and early 70s were the way they were, you know what I mean, and sort of so open-minded. And so, you know, getting back to Black Panther, like, it's like a movie basically saying, it's like turning around and saying to people of African origin, you know, in the same way that Superman is saying, this is how America could be great.
Yeah.
You know, or this is like America at its best.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, at its best. Black Panther is, this is the African dream at its best.
That's, you know what I mean? I'm looking forward to seeing.
It's really, really good. It's really good. It's moving, you know, it's proper moving. I can't imagine what it must be like to see something like that, because the difference between, say, Superman and this is that we, in some ways, we've seen the American dream. Some of the good aspects of it. We've seen America be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? but we've not seen Africa be like this, and we wish we could. You know, anyone that watches it would, you know, like to see that.
It's cool, and it. Hasn't it surpassed The Last Jedi's opening weekend, which is...
Yeah,
it's going to be almost. Crazy. It's going to be like...
That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
It's in the top 10 openings of all time.
Right.
And that was before they counted everything.
It's already become like such a big cultural event, especially in America.
Yeah.
You know, like black families. And
sure.
You're seeing on social media people like... taking the grandmothers to go and see it. And you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really special. Yeah. It's really special.
I tried to get my mum to go watch it.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She went to go watch a movie about...
Did she watch Jumanji?
No, she watched... So she said, she told me she was going to watch a movie. I was like, what are you going to go watch? She said, it's a movie called Padman. What is Padman, mum? I said, you need to go watch Black Panther. What's Padman? She's like, so basically, Padman was the guy in India who apparently brought some technology that makes tampons for women, which is obviously a great thing. So he became like Padman. So he became Padman.
Wow.
Basically, and I could not get her to go watch Black Panther instead of Padman.
Well, two different superheroes.
Black Padman would have been a good movie.
Culture, you know, culture aside, and sort of the cultural, you know, importance stroke implications of it all aside, the actual story ideas are superb in it as well. Like, they take, you know, in the same way that when you watch, like when you first watched Iron Man and some of the ideas that they play with in that regarding energy and regarding just movement and armor and things like that, when you see it come to life, you go, oh, that is clever.
Yeah.
They do that with this, with completely new things. You know what I mean? Like, you're
nice.
Seeing things that you've not seen before in this.
Oh, nice.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good.
And explaining, finally, vibranium, you know what I mean, which is great, you know, really, really good. And the accents, and just seeing, I don't know how else to put it, but like lots of beautiful black people, you know what I mean? Mesmerizing people, are they? You know, and
the costumes
and the costumes and the beautiful voices and you know, like when they do. The only voice that I wasn't completely in love with was what's his name? Ghost Dog. What's he called?
Ghost Dog, as in Forrest.
Yeah, Forrest Whitaker's. Forrest Whitaker's
the best voice ever.
No, yeah, normally he does. Yeah, right. But like bogum, what's it called? Bogalit.
Bogalit.
No. His South African accent is a little bit
grumpy,
but other than that, it's all good.
Did you like Gollum's accent?
Just sounded like Gollum.
Yeah.
But he was good.
He does a South African character. Well, it was funny because when I was talking about the early Marvel films teeing off these later ones, last night we watched half of Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Mm.
And the bit with Andy Serkis in, and they talk about Wakanda and vibranium, and that's all in there. You know,
yeah.
And Amy was like, "Oh, they're talking about Black Panther."
Yeah.
It's because that's where Andy Serkis' character loses his arm because Ultron chops it off.
Yes.
On the ship.
Yeah.
Which incidentally,
I remember that.
Where they filmed that scene, that's where I went to see The Secret Cinema Does the Empire Strikes Back.
Cool.
Okay.
Anyway.
But definitely go see Black Panther ASAP.
Yeah.
So good. Nice. Wakanda forever!
What's next for you in the Marvel?
That's the closest
I can do. So the rest of Age of Ultron and then Ant-Man.
Nice.
And then we're getting more up to date, so.
I love Ant-Man.
Doctor Strange and Civil War.
I've just got Thor Ragnarok.
Oh gosh.
I know, I'm really excited about watching it.
You're going to crack up. I'd like to watch it with you. Are you going to watch it on your computer? I mean, on your big screen?
I think I might.
Like, come around and watch it with you.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I'm watching it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, Vic's going to give us a jingle for Nick's comic news.
Jingle.
What, am I?
Yeah. Just sing his little jingle.
Oh, God. I'm completely on the spot. I don't know.
You get your mind's blank.
Nick's comic bits. Hey, what have you been drawing today?
Okay, Nick, what have you been drawing today? Nick, you tell us what's been going on.
Nick, tell us about your comic bits. Comics.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see. November. Well, I think we did talk about. Did we talk about the release of Once and Future Queen, Wafuk?
Yeah, Wafuk. Once and Future Queen. Yeah, that's so...
Was that out when we spoke last?
I think so, but just briefly, what's the comic about?
Oh, okay. Well, it's basically the continuation of the story of Excalibur and the girl that draws it from the stone, a girl called Rani, who is the Once and Future Queen. So it's basically a continuation of the Arthurian legend.
And you were recently nominated for an award.
We were.
An Oscar.
The Oscar, yeah.
The Oscar for... Best
continuation of the Arthurian legend.
Yeah. Which unfortunately doesn't go to us because there's another book at the moment called... It's written by this guy called Gabriel Rodriguez, who is doing this book, and I forgot what it's called now. Sword of Ages, it's called.
So he stole your idea.
No, his is completely different, but it's still the Arthurian legend with a girl in it. It's
so what award were you nominated
for? Anyway, we were nominated for the the Dwayne McDuffie Award for Diversity. And anyone who, in comics, anyone who sort of knows their comics will know Dwayne McDuffie he was a real luminary in both animation and in comics. And he was one of the guys involved in the whole Bruce Timm Batman / Justice League cartoons of the 90s, you know, in the 2000s, you know, those classic Batman cartoons and stuff.
Yeah.
And they sort of moved into the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
And then all the subsequent DC animated movies. Dwayne McDuffie was kind of the head of a lot of those, and he was a black writer / director, and he did a lot of comics and stuff. He was just a real great, creator, and very well known and very well respected. And also, like, he'd written, I've forgotten what it was now, I think it might have been a book called Static Shock, or I think it was Static Shock. I can't remember now, but he did some great, stuff with diversity as a key sort of aspect to them. And he died a couple of years back, and so they've created this diversity award in his name, and just to have been noticed was a bit of a surprise, actually.
Yeah.
So like, we were in with good company as well, so it was just really cool, to have been recognized, because our book is focuses on an American stroke Indian girl. There's a young black man called Lance in it. There's a gay woman called Gwen in it. There's, issues of asexuality as well as bisexuality and all that kind of thing, as well as the main story. So it kind of deals with a lot of diversity.
Represent
within our story. So it was very cool. We didn't win it, but, and Vic, can you remember who won it?
That comic must have been diverse. Yeah. What did they have?
They had like bestiality and stuff.
That's some crazy diversity going on in that one.
It was like something, a kid's thing, wasn't it?
It was a kid's story about bestiality.
Like, how do you beat, woman, gay woman, yeah. Indian?
Yeah.
Indian. I wasn't.
Yeah, so I mean, the whole idea about diversity in comics is something that you were conscious of going into with this project, wasn't it? And
yeah, I think so. I mean, Adam and DJ inhabit this sort of realm where they like to play with those characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so do I. And I think so do a lot of people. Simply. If for no other reason than it's just more interesting, than the usual stuff. Because we've seen every conceivable story about a bloke and his adventures.
Yeah.
It's time for everyone else to have adventures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, from my perspective, like, that's why I like those stories. And those two guys are really good at, coming up with that stuff. So,
Excellent. So, Once a Future Queen is available on trade paperback.
Yeah, you can order it. It's published by Dark Horse Comics and available at your local comic shop, at your local bookshop, Waterstones, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books.
That's right.
Once in Future Queen.
Go and ask for the Once in Future Queen, and if they do not know what it is, ask for Wafok.
Wafok, they'll know Wafok. Instantly.
Wafok.
So that's
one thing.
That happened late last year.
Yeah.
And then since then I've been working on a book called She's Not There with a chap called Ellis Bojar, which is not going to be out for at least another year.
But
I'll tell you more about that later down the line. But
it's really good.
It's good. Am I to talk about the other thing?
The big news.
Right. Well, I mean, a couple of weeks back, I was able to announce that I've written and drawn a new IG-88 story for Star Wars Adventures, published by IDW.
So, awesome.
Yeah, I actually did it last year, like around November, wasn't it? It was sort of November, December that I did it. But I wasn't allowed to tell anyone, so I had to just sit around.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And it was very cool. It was just a real fun. It's just a short story about IG-88 set in the Star Wars universe. And it was surprisingly difficult to do because there are so many stipulations laid out by Lucasfilm that have to maintain the universe completely untouched in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that the movies can carry on as per normal.
The characters and do what they want with them. Yeah.
Exactly. So finding stories to tell that don't encroach on anything are quite hard. It's quite hard, But I think I managed it.
It was cool because we were watching the live feed of Celebration Orlando.
Yes, last year.
Last year? Ooh. Yeah, last summer. Mm. The other summer before?
It was last summer.
Right.
Yeah.
And it got announced then.
That the Star Wars Adventures.
That IDW are doing the Star Wars Adventures.
Right.
And it was like, wow, that's awesome.
And because Nick's got a history of working with IDW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just like because it was going to be like a comic series for kids.
Right,
Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
It was like,
rather than
this
the ongoing
really cool.
Marvel.
Yeah, because Marvel do the more grown-up Star Wars stories.
Star Wars for grown-ups.
So,
like Star Wars should be.
But it's just nice for it to come full circle.
Yeah.
And to like see it announced, and then now Nick's announced as.
I mean, it looks great. The cover art that you've done of IG-88.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you done created some little alien thingies as well, or with?
I invented a new little race of characters. So it's that's all I can say.
Awesome. But they're on the cover.
They're on the cover, but I can't say any more about them. But
yes.
Basically, it's the adventures of, well, it's IG-88.
It's part of. There's two stories, aren't there, in that issue?
Yeah, Star Wars Adventures are basically split into two stories per issue. So one story is the main cover story. Well, the main story is always about. Hang on a minute. Excuse me, listeners. I had to sneeze there. So the main story is always about some of the more prominent characters, and then the second story is always about
a B-roll character.
About some background characters, such as IG-88. The mighty IG-88.
So it's just like a one-off story rather than a continuing story.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Okay, well, do you want to play us out with the next comic book jingle?
That was Nick's comic things. He has finished telling us.
Okay, so does anyone have any recommendations?
I've got one! I would like to recommend the new Star Trek Discovery series.
Not that new, because it just wraps up.
It's just wrapped up, but it's new in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this show is that you don't have to necessarily be a Star Trek fan to get into it at all. You could come into it cold, not really know anything about Star Trek, and follow it perfectly fine. But if you do know about Star Trek and you do happen to know about, you know, the ins and outs of the Federation and a lot of the philosophy behind Star Trek, it's even better. Yeah. Especially because the nature of the show creates a bit of a red herring as far as that is concerned. A lot of people, when they were watching it, they were going, this is not real Star Trek, because of a lot of the themes and a lot of the behaviours that were going on in the show. But you need to keep watching the show in order to understand why those things are going on, and it's very, very, very good. The production values they're like movie style. In fact, the people behind it are the people behind the J.J. Abrams movies.
Oh, really?
And so, like, the visual level of this show is extremely high. In fact, the best I've ever seen in a TV show, as far as effects and stuff like that.
It was like when you watched the Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
And you were like, wow, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's like that, but now.
Definitely, it's like Battlestar meets Star Trek meets, what was the other thing that we said that it was a bit like, recent shows, I've forgotten now. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but like, the storytelling is impeccable, and the actors are superb, obviously, the lassie from Walking Dead.
Sonequa Green, is it?
Yeah, she's... Yeah. A very, very soulful
Anthony
lead
Rapp.
Woman. Anthony Rapp from Rent, who's also very soulful, but also...
From Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused and Rent. Yeah, he's great in it.
So he is!
Yeah.
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs, who everybody loves, who I consider the British, what's the dude from Mad Men called?
John Hamm.
John Hamm, the British John Hamm. He's very good in it. He's
and,
really good.
What's he called?
Oh, yeah.
Dark Spock.
And it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. The whole series, really.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
Please do, because it's very, very good. And the end...
Don't tell him.
I'm not... Of course I'm not going to say
it. I'm on episode 6.
The end is wonderful.
Yeah.
So, the end of the series, should I say.
I've just had a last-minute change of recommendation. So, you guys know that I'm a massive fan of The Who.
Yeah.
I've recently had a bit of an epiphany.
Oh.
I think Led Zeppelin might be better than The Who.
I'm not going to say anything other than...
Because obviously we've been playing Immigrant Song as part of our new set. And
I don't know that you should compare them.
No, but I mean, like... they're a band that I didn't really like. You know, I enjoy Led Zeppelin 2 and 4. I've had them on CD since I was a kid.
Yeah,
but that's kind of like where it started and ended for me. And just like, yeah, they're great.
I think when you were into The Who, Roger Daltrey for like the heyday of The Who was a bit like
Robert Plant,
yeah,
with the big blonde,
curly
hair and stuff. So it was like you did kind
they
of.
They do invite
them.
The comparison, and also if you know about the history of the two bands, you know the members of The Who named the band Led Zeppelin, as a joke, and they kept the band name and stuff, and obviously Moon and John Bonham were quite close at one time. So since we've been rehearsing that song, I've just gone through all the Led Zeppelin albums. I'm currently going, working through them, and sort of just really, really, really digging it. And sort of, and a lot of them not for the first time as well, but just sort of re-experiencing them from a different angle.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Well, I would like to recommend to you.
Okay.
Then there about I think it was around 2000. There was I think it was a 4-disc DVD set that was released, and I'm not kidding. It will change your life. Yeah. When I first saw that, because I've always been a massive Led Zeppelin fan. I've always thought they're essentially the best rock band ever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I saw these 4 DVDs, because the only sort of like there was smatterings of live recordings out, and then the classic, The Song Remains the Same. Live album, which is okay, but you get a certain picture of the band when you watch these live recordings of Led Zeppelin. They are it's like literally watching golden gods striding across the world when they're playing when they were at their heyday. Well, for quite a big period, they were magical. They were it's the only word I can think of. You know, they were magical.
Yeah.
Nice recommendation.
Oh, yeah. That's my recommendation. It's basically Led Zeppelin.
I don't know
if you've heard of these guys.
I'd like to make another recommendation. It's called Music.
Well, I'll recommend something.
Go for it.
Another one for Andy is the comedy thing on Netflix. Fred Armisen, Stand Up For Drummers.
Yes. Yeah.
Where one of his things is that drummers think they're cool if they say their favourite drummer is John Bonham. But it's brilliant stand-up.
John Bonham died the day before I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the day before I was born.
So you could
be the reincarnation.
You could be him.
Jess, have you got a rap?
Yeah, why not? I've not finished watching it yet, but Curb Your Enthusiasm season 9.
Yes!
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I'm halfway through it and it's fantastic. I've said this about the last few seasons, but I think it's the best season.
It's
quirky, isn't it?
It's so funny.
It's quirky.
I think it's so funny to me because I'd love to be more like Larry.
Yeah.
I'd love to be more comfortable with myself.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to just say whatever I want.
Yeah.
To whoever I want, whenever I want, and to just be able to apologise and say, sorry.
This is me.
Psychologically, he's fine. You know, that's him living, and there's no bitterness, there's nothing. It's just, he just does his thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
In fact, I try every day to be a bit more like
that. Oh, boy. I'm not sure that's such a good idea. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I'm halfway through, and it's funny. There's nothing not to like about it so far. Yeah. And have they upgraded the cameras on it? Because for some reason it just looks nice.
It's your weird flipping telly.
I'm watching it on my laptop. Oh, yeah. It's not the big telly.
Jess has got a 98-inch screen.
Yeah.
And it's literally like you walk into his house and you're basically in the screen.
Yeah. Basically, whatever you're watching looks more real than the remainder of your living room.
It's all the drugs you guys have taken.
Yeah.
Good Rex. Good
Rex. Yeah.
I also recommend a big old TV.
Big old TV. That brings us to the end of an episode of the Blues Harvest Show.
Yeah, Wakanda forever.
Yeah, Wakanda forever. We've all learnt a lot. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye. Bye.